I had my time again and I'd only done a few years, I'd still be young enough to not be used to the lifestyle that I have with my pay. Mm-hmm. I'd probably go back to uni and do law or something, yeah.
So you wouldn't recommend someone joining the teaching profession now, currently as it is?
It's a fantastic job. Don't want to put anybody off in it. It's a brilliant job. It's really rewarding. It has many, many positives, but I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
That was Steph. She's been teaching for a quarter of a century, and she wouldn't recommend it to anyone here in Queensland. Professor Paul Richardson is from Monash University and is part of a team that researches who've been following the careers of a group of teachers for the last 15 years. Paul Richardson, I understand you're following 365 teachers from right across the country, is that right?
Yes, we are, Stephen. We began with a much larger sample, but as you would imagine, over 15 years, maintaining the same people in a profession like teaching does mean that when we did this particular study, we were down to just on 400 people that we had continued to follow.
You've just, I mean, 15 years is a really great, you know, qualitative sample time period as far as I'm concerned, particularly for, you know, something like this. You've just published your findings on the demands of teachers and what's happening in the classroom. What can you reveal?
Well, one of the things that really shocked us was, and remember that, you know, 15 years means that these people are now in their mid-career, but we were looking at excessive demands in early career and what impact it might have had. And what shocked us is that excessive demands such as work pressure and work overload, too much expected of teachers, and things like principal pressure really had a negative effect on beginning teachers over a long period of time. And it had a bad effect on their confidence to actually manage classrooms. So if they started out badly and they had very little support and they experienced a lot of excessive demand, it continued, if you know what I mean, through their career.
We heard stories yesterday and messages came in of what they call administrative bullying. In other words, the sort of the education department in Queensland here sort of bullying, demanding certain things, you know, sort of for administrative reasons. Did you pick that up in your research?
We did ask them about aspects of work overload, and one of those aspects would have been in terms of the amount of administrative work. It's not just in our study, but it's more commonly in other studies we've done as well, where teachers do nominate excessive amounts of paperwork and excessive requirements to report on a whole lot of aspects. And it seems a long way for them from the classroom, where many of them get most of their enjoyment.
Okay. What are teachers telling you about their ability to manage, or the requirement of managing, poor behaviour in the classroom? This is another theme that's coming. And it came up during the Gonski discussions as well, but it comes up all the time, behaviour management. They end up becoming parole officers as much as teachers in the classroom.
Well, one of the things we were looking at was classroom management and their confidence in classroom management. And as we've said, it does seem to be, if it's undermined and they experience excessive demands earlier on, it can actually undermine that confidence and undermine their ability to be able to meet the demands of what are sometimes quite difficult classrooms and classroom situations.
We're talking...
Of course, it varies. I mean, if you're in an advantaged environment, you're probably likely to have less problems than others.
My guest is Professor Paul Richardson from Monash University. He's part of a team of researchers that have been following the careers of a group of teachers for 15 years. Here, we're in a state election campaign and both sides of politics are promising significant teacher numbers. But what's been revealed to us is that the number's not the story, because the numbers will, from one side, from Labor, will barely make up the loss, and will be, and from the other side, from the LNP side, will be under the loss of teachers. The issue is why they're leaving. Did you or your team come up with any solutions as to what to do about this?
One of the things that I think we don't take seriously when we have people transitioning into the workplace at the school when they're brand new, you know, as new teachers, regardless of whether they're more mature or whether they're they're quite, you know, quite young teachers, is that there's not a lot of support necessarily. In some contexts, it's better than others, but we find that teachers come into the profession and immediately they're given a full load. They're expected to make the social transitions and get along with their colleagues and do all that, impress the leadership of the school, and also to attend to all of the tasks that, that, you know, being a teacher requires.
So everything's dumped on them all at once. Here, have this truckload of worry and stress.
Yeah, I mean, I think oftentimes that's the case, and when we have interviewed people as a different aspect of this same research program, we have found that, that's something that people do comment on in the first couple of years, is that they're just overwhelmed by everything that's thrown at them, in a sense. So they've got stuff that goes on in the classroom, and there are the tasks of teaching, and they're often, you know, quite willing to be able to do that. But they're also doing lots of preparation. They've got all of the program to do. They've got to attend staff meetings. They're doing team meetings. They're doing, you know, special needs for special needs students. They're doing a whole range of things all at once. And the transition into any job, as we all know, requires a little more gentle access than that. So, you know, wherever schools have got mentoring programs that are actually working, they do seem to help people, and they do help their confidence to manage these excessive tasks that are before them.
Is it easier or any difference between secondary teachers and primary school teachers?
We did find it was worse for secondary school teachers. In other words, they seem to be dealing with more problems and difficult problems, and the demands seem to be higher, but, you know, marginally in a sense.
Teachers who are in the early stages of their career are often on short-term contracts. What impact does this have, any?
I think it has a devastating impact. It's sort of outside our research program, but it's clear that if you have, I mean, we've interviewed people where they've talked about being on a short-term contract, not knowing whether they're going to be there for what period of time. Very insecure work. I mean, you know, teachers have entered in many ways, particularly beginning teachers, in the various states in Australia, have entered really into the gig economy. They're not terribly secure always.
What's been done to try and address these issues? Has anything worked? I mean, as I'm speaking with you, Paul, I'm receiving text after text about behaviour in the classroom. Once again, secondary. Has anything worked to resolve this issue, as far as you're concerned, as a researcher?
I think it's the relational work that teachers do these days that's really, really important.
The relational work?
Yeah, I think teaching is just a really, really hard relational work. I mean, teachers, experienced teachers will often tell you that they work on the relationships before they try and teach the curriculum. And I think that's an important point. You can go into some really difficult schools, and I've been in schools in Queensland where you would have to say the social circumstances in which the school is and the community in which it's operating is that teachers are actually the front line of trying to develop citizens in a very difficult circumstances.
My guest is Professor Paul Richardson. Paul's from Monash University. He's been researching with a group of others and following careers of a group of teachers for 15 years. They've just published their results recently. Paul Richardson, women have been traditionally relied on as teachers, but this is changing. What could happen if the working conditions for teachers are not improved?
When I became a teacher many years ago, it was an option for women who wanted to get a higher education was to also go into, like me, go into teaching. I think women now have far better options. Young women going into other careers have far better options than perhaps they see in teaching. Mm-hmm. It's a great job, as that young person or that person that you interviewed before said. It's a wonderful job, but it's a very, very taxing job. And I think it's going to be interesting to see in the next few years whether we maintain that, because we're going to see people from the baby boom era gone out of the profession, and we may not be able to rely on clever women who have traditionally filled the teaching profession over the last 30 years or so.
I'll leave it there. Professor Paul Richardson, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.